So good evening and welcome to the December 18th board meeting, San Luis Coastal Unified School District. We met in closed session and we discussed, let me get to my place here, conference with labor negotiators. And now we're ready for consensus on the order of business. Are we all okay on the order of business? Okay. Carrying on, I would seek approval of the minutes of December 4, 2018.
So moved.
All right. Is there a second? Okay. Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Unger, a second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion carries 6-0. I've got to get myself organized here. Okay, next is our student representative singular tonight for the board. So, Prachi, thank you for coming.
Of course. So a lot's kind of been happening since our last meeting. Last night, band had a performance along with Slow High Choir. And if you've seen them perform before, they're super amazing. They're always so fun to watch. So that was, like, it was cool seeing them do what they do. So, and last week we had our annual blood drive. We collected about 36 units of blood, which is a lot considering like how many like regulations go into the blood, so like iron deficiency. But so 60 people sign up and we collected 36, which is a really good proportion. And we also had our open mic last Friday, and that's basically a mini talent show during lunch. We get to see so many like talented people on our campus that we normally wouldn't get to see. And along with that, we had our culinary class make us burritos, which were super delicious. They were very yummy, and it was just a fun way to get people to stay on campus. So this Friday, we have our Black Rally. It's basically where we highlight our winter sports and just a good way to get everyone close and like get the spirit going before winter break. So we're just almost there, and yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I would echo your comments on the concert last night. Mm-hmm. We're just growing our own. We have so much talent here, and it was just wonderful to see it on display. So.
Yeah. Oh, and also they are coming around during class on Friday and just playing some holiday tunes, which is going to be fun to see while you're in class.
Fun. That's very fun. Well, as always, you're welcome to stay. We love to see you, but I know it's a busy time of year, and I see you turning your light off, so I believe you'll be departing. But I want to wish you a wonderful break, well earned, and we'll look forward to seeing you in January. Okay, thank you.
Mrs. Sheffer, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Prachi first. Actually, it's a request.
Yeah.
The next time the blood drive goes on at the high school, could you possibly send or ask someone to send the information to the board?
Because of course.
That would be a great place for us to be able to donate blood.
Yes, of course. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Of course.
Okay. Anything else before she makes her escape? Speak quickly. It's on her way. Okay, thanks again, Prachi. All right, an exciting evening. It's always fun to see our presentations and C.L. Smith program highlights. Mr. Mayfield.
Good evening. I'd like to introduce Mr. Black, who's going to have some students come up and share some program highlights from C.L. Smith Elementary.
Good evening. Thank you so much for allowing us to come today. We really appreciate it. Without your vision and your leadership, our students in our district would not have the availability and the opportunities that they have. So we really appreciate it so much, okay? Our main focus this year, we've been off to a great start. Fantastic events going on all year long so far. Students, parents, teachers are all working extremely hard to build our community. That's been our main focus so far, is to build that culture on campus where students feel welcome, they feel safe, and they want to be at school. So we've got a lot of different projects in the works, a lot of things moving through, but I would like for our students to share how they feel things have been going on, and I can answer any questions at the end, but I'd like for them to share, okay? My first one I have is Skylar Caddix. She's a fifth grade student, and she's going to talk about her experience this year and the culture on campus right now. So, Skylar, you ready?
You want to use that?
That's okay. Hi, my name is Skylar, and I have been attending C.L. Smith Elementary School since last January. My first day, I thought no one would want to be my friend, but then I found people that day that are my best friends now. I think C.L. Smith Elementary School is a great school. I feel safe and respected everywhere and all the time I am at school. The school has a safe environment where you can be who you want without feeling judged. All the students are very nice and want to be your friend. Also, there is no pressure to do anything you don't want to do or look a certain way. One thing I like about C.L. Smith Elementary School is that it is a very welcoming place. All of the people and places are so welcoming that every day I feel like I'm in the right place. There is no place in the school that I don't feel safe or respected. C.L. Smith is by far the best school I've ever gone to.
Thank you.
The next student that I invited to come speak to you tonight is Kalea Oliveira. She's going to speak to you a little bit about a partnership program that we started with the high school with some after-school athletics for our students, and she participated, and she wanted to share a little bit about it.
Great.
Hi, my name is Kalea, and this is my first year at C.L. Smith. Since I've been here, I noticed the students are welcoming and kind to me and others. The teachers are problem-solving and encouraging. For example, I was scared to run for vice president, even though Mr. Black and my teacher, Ms. Ciccuccini, encouraged me to do it since they knew I was in the student body at my last school. I had a few friends that did not know much about the school. I didn't think I should run this year. My thought was to take the year and learn how things work around the school. But I ran and I won. At C.L. Smith, there is not just sports. There's different programs such as chess, coding, and drama. I am participating in the after-school programs with the SLO high school students. In the first trimester, there were 130 students and 5 high school students that taught us how to play baseball and soccer. During the second trimester, we are playing flag football and volleyball with 83 students and 9 high school students. When they are coaching us, they are always encouraging, friendly, and they include other students. For example, they teach us how to stretch, show us how to play the game, and learn some valuable techniques. Also, they put students before themselves. For example, if a student has a question, they would stop what they are doing and take the time to answer the student until they understand. The after-school programs is a good accomplishment for the students and the coaches. It's a good basic skill for the high school students, and for the elementary students, it's a great way for them to stay active in a known group of people for free. C.L. Smith is a unique school, and I am glad to be a shining star. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So those are just a couple of examples of what we've been doing at school. Again, the main focus is bringing people together, forming our community, building that pride, and I feel that we've been working really hard at it, and we're in a good direction. So, again, I thank you.
Go Superstars. Thank you very much. Okay, next we have our LCAP feedback report on Youth Truth Survey results. Dr. Prater.
Good evening, Board. I would like to tonight give you an opportunity to hear from our students and some of the site leaders if they wish to come up and speak regarding some of the initial preliminary findings from the Youth Truth surveys that were administered in October, and we've just gotten the results back and we started to work with them. I think one of the frames that I would like to create tonight is that I think all of us in education speak of the need for student voice and empowerment, but oftentimes finding a meaningful way for students to actually create changes in their schools based on what they think need to happen is elusive. It's been difficult. So when we created the Student Senate, the idea behind it was to create a structure and to create opportunities so students in our school district, middle to high school, can actually utilize the feedback from their peers in an anonymous, really powerful way, and process that information, creating SMART goals ultimately, and sitting with their own teachers with their SMART goals based on the peers' findings around student engagement, safety, equity, access, drug use, all of those things that we know students encounter. And so I think we have an opportunity in front of us in San Luis Coastal to create meaningful input and feedback for students, creating that voice and actually allowing them to be partners in the decisions that we make. And so tonight is sort of the beginning. This is our second year through. I've asked representatives from the Student Senate, which, by the way, make up about 75 middle and high school students in our district, representing all walks of life. And the findings that you'll hear tonight are simple. And tonight it's really just the beginning of a much longer conversation that I want to introduce to you. And so tonight I'm recalling them the top three. What are the top three celebrations that came out of the Youth Truth survey data about their school site? And then what are the top three findings that really are concerns, areas that they want to dig deeper in and really figure out more about, and really meet with their peers and start deriving better understanding of what those issues might mean to improve school and student life for our kids. So tonight, I'd like to introduce to you, we'll start with Los Osos Middle School, and we have Mr. Bloom to represent, and he'll introduce the student reps.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having us. And I have with me tonight Donovan Leahy and Krupa Patel, and they are student senators for Los Osos Middle School. This is Krupa's second year, so she's been in the entire process, and Donovan, we brought him in this year, and they're going to share our three top things and three areas of improvement.
All right, so my name is Donovan Leahy. I'm an eighth grader at LUMS, and I'm going to be talking about the celebrations we had at our school, the good things. And we have a great school culture at LUMS because when asked if most students were treated with treat adults with respect at LUMS, we scored in the 87th percentile. Also at LUMS, we scored in the 91st percentile when students were asked how often they collaborated with other students when they're asked to by their teachers. And also we have really fair adults because we're in the 81st percentile when it comes to students seeing their teachers as fair to them. We also have great relationships at LUMS because 86% of LUMS students say that in order to get a good grade, they have to work hard in their classes, and students at LUMS feel safe on campus and very safe at home. We are also almost drug and alcohol free, and 97% of our school is cigarette and tobacco free.
In areas for improvement, we thought of engagement due to the question asked, does classwork help you outside of school? LUM scored on the 31st percentile. In the area of rigor, when do my teachers give me assignments that really help me learn? LUM scored the 21st percentile. In the area of relationships, when asked, in my school this year, there is at least one adult that is willing to help me with personal problems, only 29% of the students agreed. So the questions that we thought of were, what would help students feel that their classwork would help them outside of school? What would help students feel that their assignments really help them learn? How can we make each student at LUMS have an adult that would help them with the personal problem? So the next steps that we thought we would take were that the student senates would need more time to dig into the data, and that the slideshow would be shared by the teachers from our admin, and the student senators will go to advisory classes to share the data with the school, and the student senators will go to with the teachers in a staff meeting, and we will also priorities will be developed to work at Lowe's.
So I have a quick question. I'm not sure if one of you can answer this, but do you know if this information has been shared yet with teachers?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. Well, I'll be curious to know their reaction and the questions they come up with and the suggestions they may have in this regard. Any other comments or questions from the board? Yes, Mr. Unger.
Could you go back, please, one slide? So where you say priorities will be developed to work on at LOMS, are the priorities just things that the student senators will work on, or will this be in collaboration with the teachers? How's that one going to work?
It'll be based on what the student senators see as the biggest three things for change, and then we're going to collaborate with the teachers once we share this information out, and we'll be driving this as helping to form our goals for next year.
Okay, your site-specific goals?
Site-specific, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay, thank you very much for your presentation. It's very, very useful.
Thank you.
Our next school to present is Laguna Middle School.
So thank you and good evening. I brought Adam Frederick with me. He's one of our small but mighty group of student senators. This is our first blush at the data. We looked at it for the first time in the student senate meeting that we had last week, right? And I have to say, my table group, the kids came up with amazing questions about the data. So this is really just our first scratch. We have a plan to meet together and go much more in depth into all of this, but this is our celebrations and our things that we might look at for changing just at first glance. So I'm going to turn it over to Adam.
Top one for forward. Okay, so oh, there we go. So why are we gathering feedback? We're gathering feedback so we can know things that we need to work on in our school and make it a better school and a more enjoyable place for students and a better place for them to learn. We heard from over 700 students about their school and classroom experience at Laguna. The relationships at our school remain strong, student to student, and we rank 73rd percentile in how connected and welcome that students feel. Student collaboration is high, students think that teachers are fair, and students think teachers want them to do well. So, our school culture, students do treat adults respectfully, and same the other way, teachers treat students respectfully, and students think that the discipline is fair. Improved student perception, we had 14% this year as an increase from 3% last year from college and career readiness. Academic rigor was relatively lower than other schools in the survey. Math was lower than English this year, and explaining things in a way that students understand was a big priority, and giving problems that support, that help with the subject. And there was a 50% decrease in African American feeling bullied about their race. And another thing that needs to be worked on is that students are often bullied about their sexuality or their gender. 67% feel that middle school is preparing them for high school, which is down from 74% last year. And some questions that we had were what were other students thinking when they clicked the option other, and how can we improve on our academic rigor, and what is it that we are trying to make some. What is it that we are going to do to make some areas improvements? How can we identify that, and how can we keep that going through college and career readiness?
Some next steps for us is to continue to dive into the data and better understand it, report the data and findings to staff, students, and parents, and begin working on plans to improve. Thank you.
Any questions from the board? Thank you. This is really informative. Thank you very much. And I have a quick question for Mrs. Campbell, most likely. Will we be able to receive a copy of the slideshow, or at least the information contained in it? Okay, great. Thank you. Dr. Prater.
Yes, and I will, in terms of sharing the Youth Truth survey data, I will make sure that the board, as well as anyone else that would like to review it, has an opportunity to see it.
Okay, great.
So it's not
Thank
secret.
You.
It's actually, it's anonymous, but it's informative.
Oh, it's greatly informative.
So I'd like to introduce our alternative continuation high school, Mr. Dowler.
Hi, I brought Eva Bagnell with me to talk about our Youth Truth survey results. Eva is not on our student senate yet, but she will be in this next round. As you guys know, we have a lot of turnover in our population. So as students leave, Eva will be joining us in our next Student Senate presentation. But fortunately, Eva feels very confident talking to adults and present material. So she came with me tonight, and she has really strong opinions about our school. So can you go to the next slide? So I did want to point out these are survey results. Those are percentile rankings. Our survey results, the graph on the left, the line graph, shows the point of last year's survey compared to this year's survey. So all of those are heading in the right direction. All those gains are heading in the right direction. And our percentile rankings, is the orange bars on the right of the six categories: engagement, academic rigor, relationships, belonging, and peer collaboration. And these are all composite rankings, and this compares us how our school ranked as a percentile compared to all other schools in the country that have taken this survey. So those are, you know, I'll point out, and Eva will point out, very high rankings. So go ahead.
Hi, I'm Eva Bagnell. I've been attending Pacific Beach High School for about a month now, and if you could go to the next slide. Bright spots that we've reached is that our serving ratings have improved from the last year and the year before, which shows that Pacific Beach is continuing to engage with their students and make sure that their high school is improving always. Another bright spot is that we are notably the highest school district, and a lot of people would say that's because of how small our school is. But even with other small schools, we rate pretty high. Our lowest rating is 92%. This also compares to small schools. It just shows that students and teachers really connect when in a smaller environment, because it's pretty easy to get lost when you're one student of, like, 35 in one classroom. The only thing I could think of to change for Pacific Beach is the stigma that a lot of people think about it as, because when I was moving schools, I got a lot of negative reactions from family and friends because a lot of people believed that I was giving up academically. But Pacific Beach has really helped me excel. I wasn't doing the best at Morabay High School and my grades were dropping, but I really feel that it was the curriculum and the pace of schoolwork. But at Pacific Beach, you can really go your own pace, and I feel like the only problem there is how other people view it from the outside, because they aren't in the school, and it's really easy to get caught up when thinking that the troubled kids go to the high school, when really it's just the kids who need a little extra help.
And then because I'm like a lot of kids, I have a hard time following directions, so I edited out the next group of slides. But next steps would be, you know, obviously sharing this with students, but also we're doing outreach to the high schools. I'm taking kids over to the high schools to talk to other groups of kids about the school, and definitely these Youth Truth survey results will be part of that presentation.
Great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Eva.
Our next school will be Morabay High School. Caden Diodati and will lead the presentation. And I tell you, this has been Caden and Clay have been leaders on the Student Senate, and they had good mentors last year. So this year they will, if you could see them in their circle when Morro Bay was looking at their youth truth, you could see just a level of engagement that only comes with that level of experience. So I'm excited to hear what they have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. As you said, I'm Caden. This is Clay. We're Morro Bay High School seniors on the Student Senate, and we're going to go over the survey results. I pointed at you. Oh, it's reversed. Okay, so we heard from 720 students about their school and classroom experiences at Morro Bay High School.
We have a few celebrations and a few areas for improvement we'd like to share with you. The first celebration was school enjoyment. The rates of enjoyment at our school for individuals who identify in another way tremendously grew from 48.4 to 61.8%. Scores went up from 2.42 to 3.09 from last year to this year, and that's on a 0 to 5 scale.
Another celebration is our ninth grade class. 75% of them usually try to help other students who are being bullied or harassed on campus.
And then the last celebration is the peer belonging and relationships. Electronic bullying was chopped in half. It went from 26 to 13% from last year to this year. And overall, this category was ranked as one of the highest percentiles compared to all the other categories. And now this slide and the next slide can be kind of confusing. Do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, so on the last slide, we were talking about how bullying cut down in half electronically. But last year, it was one of our goals to reduce bullying. And unfortunately, bullying only went down by 1%. So it's reported that 30% of the students are being bullied or harassed this last year. So it is one of our priorities for change, even though that is a celebration.
And the second priority for change is the emotional and mental health outreach. 39% of students have reported feeling so sad that they stopped doing typical activities. 18% of students have seriously considered attempting suicide. That's almost 1 in 5 students. Students do not feel like there's an adult or programs on campus that they can go to when feeling stressed, upset, or having problems.
Another priority for change, and one we are concerned about, is our 10th grade class. Overall, they're below the 0 percentile for having an adult on campus that they feel comfortable talking to. The 10th grade engagement rates have dropped from 3.1 to 2.79%. A suggestion we've had is adding an advisory period so they can talk with teachers. It's not on our presentation anymore, but we had a little clip where it showed that an image that all the other grades were higher up on the scale compared to 10th grade. They're below. They weren't even on it. You couldn't even see them on it. And unfortunately, we see that occur several times on the data, and so that's just one of our priorities for change, is figuring out the 10th grade class.
Then we had a few questions with the data. The first one was, what event or change occurred during the 10th grade peer group that has made their results so much different and so much lower than all the other classes? And the second one is, what access do students have to mental health professionals on our campus if they feel they need help?
Next steps, which the Student Senate is very excited for, we're going to hold an open forum with students about the survey results. There's not going to be any teachers or administration there. It's going to be solely run by our Student Senate. It's going to be not a presentation, but a discussion with them. We're going to use their feedback and our own analysis to formulate SMART goals. And with that, we're going to meet with the campus leadership team, as we did last year, to revise those goals. And then we're going to present the SMART goals to the staff as a whole, and then again revise and prepare to implement goals for the next school year. I think that's all we got. Thank you for your time.
For purposes of those who may not be familiar with the term, would you please define SMART goals? Can you? or Dr. Prater?
It's an acronym.
It's an acronym.
I don't specifically remember what it stands for.
One of them is time.
Right? That would be the T.
Yeah.
Measurable.
Yeah, so SMART goal, it's an acronym.
Yes.
And it's basically, what is it? SMART, it's a strategic, measurable, achievable, R. Results, no? Results, and what's the T?
Time.
So timely. So in other words, it's a perfect strategy, which we have a template for the kids to follow. And what they do is they lay out the SMART goals within a template so that they're understandable. And so when they present them to the adults in the room, it's really clear that they did their homework, that they really drove down deep, and that they have an outcome in mind and a time in mind. And so that's why we fold that in to answer Mr. Unger's question. We have every intention to folding that in this spring to the single plans for student achievement, as well as the local control accountability plan, so that we know that's where the money is to support those goals. So that's how we link engagement of our student voice into measurable outcomes where there's resources that the board ultimately approves the budget for. And that's what helps drive us, hopefully, to see changes that line up with what the kids are experiencing every day.
Thank you. And then I have one more question for the morale-based senators.
Yes.
And that is, when you have your meeting with student senate participants,
yes,
to the students, will you then report back to administration, you know, kind of what was learned and what students are feeling from that meeting?
We will. We'll take that. And when we meet with our representative, Mr. Cadwallader, our advisor, we'll discuss with him. And what they say will definitely go into our meeting with the leadership team and the teachers.
Perfect.
To go over what the student body is saying as a whole, because we're trying to represent the whole student body here.
Yeah.
So
it's a big job.
Yeah.
One of the main goals of that meeting is to answer those questions we had, which the data didn't necessarily answer. For example, sometimes the data wouldn't let us go down and see specific different groups within the student body. It would just give us general analyses, and we want more specific information, and we're hoping that by meeting with the students one-on-one, they can give us some personal insight that we're missing.
Great. Yeah, this is really useful. Any other questions or comments from the board? All right. Thank you so much, all
thank
of you.
You. Yeah.
Thank you.
And our final school is San Luis Obispo High School. So, Mrs. Miller. Jordan, Andres, and Evan.
All right. Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our survey results tonight. I'm going to quickly pass this over to our student reps. We have Evan, Andres, and Jordan here.
Thank you.
So who we got our feedback from after the Youth True survey was passed out was from 1,365 students, which is 88% of our high school, about their high school classroom experiences. 87% of the students at San Luis are thinking about their future and want to attend college. 72% of the students believe that SLOHS is a friendly place. And bullying has decreased by 5% since last year, which is awesome.
As for priorities for change, what we thought we needed to change after taking the survey was first college and career readiness, because according to survey results, we found that many students didn't fully feel prepared for future life past high school and in college. SLO High students rated college and career readiness 2.98 out of 5. Students would like to focus more on preparing their future college, career, and adult lives. Next, we had academic engagement, and overall, SLO High students felt like they were looking for assignments that were more relevant and engaging within their classes. and that would help them better understand the content. Less like busy work and more like work that will help them understand what's going on in their classes. Currently, about half of our students feel like this is happening within their classes. And our third one is response bias. Through analyzing the data, we noticed that low ratings for things like drug and alcohol use. We thought this may be inaccurate based on student experiences, but in future surveys, we'd like to increase the awareness that this survey is, in fact, anonymous for people who are taking it, and to hopefully receive more accurate results.
And then we have some questions. For engagement, what are some ways to better engage students in their academic experience? For college and career readiness, why are 9th and 12th graders scoring comparable levels in relation to college and career readiness? In general, you'd want the 12th graders to be a lot more ready, so it's quite an interesting phenomena. And then response bias, are students answering honestly? What can we do to assure students and their responses are know that they're anonymous? Currently, our results for things like drug and alcohol use are very low, and from student experiences like my own and other student senators, we know that isn't actually the case. We know it's much higher than what is currently being reported, which is obviously not good, so that's something we want to work on. And from talking to other students, we've realized that a lot of them don't believe that the survey is anonymous, which can be a problem because then we're not getting all the results that we'd like. And then lastly, we'd hope to add more in-depth questions about drug and alcohol use, including what leads to students using these substances, so we can tackle the problems more efficiently. And then our next steps are obviously making SMART goals with the rest of the Student Senate. We will share our findings with staff members and brainstorm ideas for change together. And lastly, we'll share our findings with the student body at SLO High School through signs across our campus that all of them can see rather than like an email or something, because that's often ignored. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any, yes, Dr. Eisengrath Rogers. We have a question from
gentlemen. 88% response rate is quite high, and I believe it's much higher than last year. Can you tell us how you went about collecting more responses this year?
Yeah, last year we only did our math classes, and not everybody takes math because we're on a trimester system. This year what we did was we sent it to math classes as well, but we also pulled some students out of classes and sent them to libraries, and we made sure that we could we got as many students as possible to take the survey.
And were those randomly selected students or students?
No, like any students that we could pull.
Excellent.
We blue suit them. Yeah.
Great. So we really appreciate all of you taking your time this evening to come and report to us. This is very valuable and interesting information, and for all your work on the Student Senate, it's really appreciated. It's very valuable to us to know what's going on our campuses. So thank you again.
Well done.
Dr. Prater, moving on through our agenda.
Yeah, aren't those student senators?
They're amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah,
you really should come and visit us when we meet. There's 75 kids in this room. It's an amazing, thing. Thank you again. Okay. So, Luana, are you ready to put the next one up? So the man of the hour is here, and I have something I'd like to share, and then we'll break for some Val Harrigan cake.
Yay.
And goodies. And so this is a farewell message to Jim Guesenberry. Tonight, I'd like to share a few thoughts about Jim Quesenberry, his 8 years on the school board, and over 30 years of teaching dedicated to the students and parents of our San Luis Coastal community. Bob Dylan famously said, "I think of a hero as someone who understands the degree of responsibility that comes with his freedom." In his retirement, quote unquote, Mr. Quesenberry chose to use his freedom to serve the community he grew to love since arriving on the Central Coast. Mr. Quesenberry was an exceptional trustee, demonstrating sound judgment, strong advocacy for students, especially our most vulnerable populations. He was a strong and consistent voice for all employees, especially our teachers. He regularly visited classrooms to better understand how our programs were working in real time. And he wholeheartedly supported the passage of Measure D and the modernization of our high school campuses. He was one of the first to jump into the brand new pool at Morro Bay High School. I have pictures. Mr. Quesenberry was well-informed, experienced, and always placed student success in the front of every decision. It was an honor to work alongside him. He was a fabulous and fantastic school board trustee. As a teacher and coach, Mr. Quesenberry was a legend. He was an active coach, but was best known for his success in wrestling and football. He was an English teacher, but specialized as an English learner teacher. He was loved by his students even to this day. Mr. Quesenberry invited me to participate in a weekly People Helping People event, which provides food and support services to citizens who are less fortunate in the Los Osos community. I spent a full morning observing this organized event and left with an even greater appreciation and respect for Mr. Quesenberry's selfless service to his community. Mr. Quesenberry is an active member of the Los Osos Rotary Club, which provides thousands of dollars in grants to students in the coastal community each year. If Bob Dylan is correct when he said, "I think of a hero as someone who understands the degree of responsibility that comes with his freedom," then I would place Mr. Quesenberry in the category of a local hero. Thank you for your service, Mr. Quesenberry. And we have Jim, we put together a slide for you, and we're going to play that.
And then we have a request and then, to speak.
Oh, okay.
With regard to Mr. Pleasant.
Okay.
Let's watch this go through.
I listen to the wind of my soul. Where I'll end up, well, I think only God really knows. I've sat upon the setting sun, but never, 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 never. I never wanted water once. Never, never, never. I listen to my words, but they fall far below. I let my music take me where my heart wants to go. I swam upon the devil's lake, but never, 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 never. I'll never make the same mistake. No, never, never, never.
Quesenberry.
Yes, and imagine that my request to speak is from Jim Quesenberry.
Madam President and fellow board members and administration and folks in the audience, friends, I ask your indulgence. This is going to go a little bit longer than 3 minutes. Okay, so you've got a lot to learn. My mother said that many, many times to me. And this statement, you've got a lot to learn, is more important now than ever. I am no longer the truculent and argumentative teen who questioned authority at nearly every turn, but I still have a lot to learn. So I begin the lot that I have learned these past 8 years on the school board. First is gratitude. Gratitude, excuse me, for my fellow board members who bring a firm commitment to children and public education. Gratitude for their commitment to vision, diversity, equity, and inclusiveness. All does mean all. Gratitude to our staff who share our commitment to the public education. All of those people who enhance and sustain the education of our children. Teachers, paraprofessionals, custodians, bus drivers, administrators, all the good folks in the food service and building grounds and maintenance. It is they who provide the safe, clean, and nurturing environment for learning. We are here because of them and for all of them. Second is that each board member brings a unique perspective and contribution to our school board. Walt Millar brings the legal expertise and fiscal acuity and support for PAC Beach and mock trial. Ellen Sheffer is a stalwart, a rock. In sickness and in health, she is steadfast in her support of students and staff. She has a special place in her heart for C.L. Smith, and we have a special place in our heart for her. Chris Unger is the consummate board member and overachiever. His passion for public schools and special education has taken him from the classroom to administration, to our local board president, to the president of the California School Board Association, and on to the National School Boards Association. Chris keeps grounded by visiting local school sites and shares lunch with teachers at those sites. He's got his fingers on the pulse. Mark Buckman. Mark brings an expertise in school policy, and he has an eye for those details that should not be overlooked. He is deeply committed to career technical education and is not afraid to challenge the rest of us when necessary. Catherine Eisendrath Rogers is smart, insightful, and so generous. Her background in higher education and her support for accelerated learners is more than valuable. It is essential to the success of our district. Marilyn Roger, my co-campaigner, it has been an honor and a privilege to have worked with you. I appreciate your unwavering commitment to children, especially those who are struggling with privation and poverty. Marilyn is direct and honest. In short, I admire all of you and have learned a lot from each of you. Yet, we have a lot to learn. You will get the opportunity to work with a new board member who brings her own expertise and gifts. She will learn from you, and you will embrace her as you have done so with me. I will learn to be of further use to San Luis Coastal and our community. I still have a lot to learn. Thank you.
So We're going to take a break so that we may all extend our personal best wishes to Jane, to Jim. Jane is someone else. To Jim. And enjoy some cake. Let's reconvene at 10 after 7, please. Thank you. The next, well, I'm just going to get started.
Do you have the corner?
Yes.
Good, go.
Yeah. Let's see. No, who's here? Oh, Chris was. Yeah. All right, the next item on our agenda is our business and budget update. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah, since we have a few budget items tonight, first interim as well as our audit, I'm going to be short. So, really, I just wanted to give a quick kudo to Julie Lang again,
yes,
as well as Rick Mayfield, who have been going through FPM, federal program monitoring.
For something else.
We'll go ahead and just stay with the real name. But again, just it's been a lot of work. Right, for on both sides, both the education house as well as Julie and her staff, really working with Rick, changing things that need to be changed, making adjustments. We did have to make a few adjustments today that, you know, we'll be sharing all of this with the board, of course. But again, just a quick shout out to them for all the work that they've done to make sure that we get through this process.
Thank you. All right, educational and services update, Mrs. McGrath.
Sorry, I had too much cake.
We're all back in session.
So, yes, we've had a lot going on. Obviously, this is the last week before winter break, so exciting time for students and teachers to be able to recharge. Last week, we did have a foundation retreat, about 4 hours of a retreat, which was pretty incredible for a large group of super busy people to dedicate that chunk of time to really look at further defining goals and purpose and thinking about the great work. There's a lot of really positive energy that people are giving their time, thoughts, and energy around doing great things for kids. So great to see with our foundation continuing to develop. Just a quick update also about our student information system. We have an analysis committee going on. Currently, we use PowerSchool, and we are looking at PowerSchool as well as some other programs to determine what might be our best future step for possibilities with student information systems. So just a quick update there. Also, we have a... we've been looking at a common communication platform, really looking at how we can continue to improve parent engagement and looking at different unified platforms so that it may create a simpler way to communicate, two-way communication between sites, families, and back and forth. That's also unified K through 12, so that as families have students in multiple schools, that they use one platform in order to help with communication. So we've had a great group of people analyzing some different programs and looking at to see if there's things that we could eliminate in order to save cost, in order to implement one unified program. So great work being done by that group, and hoping that it provides more parent engagement in a unified communication platform, hoping that we can look at implementing that in the fall. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we go on, I realized that I inadvertently skipped over correspondence, and as the board did not receive any correspondence, and it looks like, is there anyone here who will be making public comment? So I will then, if not, I will dispense with the reading of our kind of admonition or instructions, and we'll go on to Measure D update.
Yes, unfortunately, the pool is filling up at Slow High, and it's not ready to be full. So we've had a little weather, a little rain that happens, right, of course, as soon as we start to dig the pool out. But you know, hopefully it'll dry up, and I wish, right? We would love to get some free water in the pool. So fortunately, we do have a drain system that can take out the water, rainwater, which helps, you know, in terms of the drying process. So so we'll be, you know, charting that. It's supposed to get a little hotter towards the end of the week, so hopefully that'll dry out and they can continue progress there. They are continuing progress still with the Student Sports Center, though, setting foundations and performing space, as well as in the annex building. So excited about the progress. Got to walk through it, polishing the floors there. So it's really the new math building, restrooms looking really nice at that facility. Chris Bonin is in hog heaven right now as they are putting all of the new equipment into the J Wing. So they brought in the huge CNC, brand new CNC machine. And so he's just, who's our director of facilities and grounds. So it's kind of like he texted me today, sent me pictures of everything, and said, it's like Christmas. So he's really excited to help out the teacher in that program and give him some ideas. So I'm very excited about that building. We'll be having grand opening to share with the board. And so those are a couple quick things.
Okay. May I add something? Yes.
And piggybacking on that, we had our boardwalk last week at Bishop's Peak on the day they did the slab pour for their new multipurpose room. And that was just, you know, it's always beautiful to watch new finished concrete. I mean, it was great. So there was excitement at Bishop's Peak as well last week.
Yeah, the building's coming up rather quickly. Mr. Mano Construction's doing that, and, yeah, they're doing a great job.
Great. All right, we are moving on to item 8.01, resolution with regard to the first interim report, Mrs. Lang. And also, thank you again for your good work.
Well, you know, it's what we're supposed to be doing, right?
Well, apparently you're doing it quite well.
We're learning a lot in the process, I will say. Well, it's that wonderful time of the year again when we ask you to approve our first interim budget changes. So we'll go over some of the changes that have occurred. And as you know, first interim, there usually are a lot of changes to our revenues. It's the first time we really get a good look at what our property taxes will probably be. We have our carryovers that we have budgeted, and we adjust our salary and benefits at this time, too. And budget for any other expenses that we might have. It worked. So you can see that our beginning balance was about $16 million from last year, and then at budget adoption, our estimated revenues were about $95 million. As of first interim, it's now almost $97 million, and that's due in part to an increase in property taxes. Our property taxes came in about 4.7% higher than they were last year, and about 2.8% higher than we had budgeted at budget adoption. So that's really good news. We also have our carryovers budgeted, so that increases our revenues as well as local revenues that we budget as we receive them. Our expenses also went up, and that's also due to a lot of the carryover that we budget. A lot of the carryover gets budgeted only in expense and not in revenue, so it falls to the ending balance, and then once we know what it is, we budget it in expense. So you can see that we went from a surplus at budget adoption of $613,000 to a deficit at first interim of about $676,000. By the end of the year, we imagine that we won't spend all of our expenses that are budgeted, and that will turn into a surplus again. So our estimated general fund ending balance is $16,713,000 as of budget adoption, and it went down to $15,423,000. Some of the things that went into the first interim, as I said, our property taxes went up about 4.7% over last year's and 2.8% higher than what we had budgeted. Our carryover was budgeted at a little over $1 million. We had restricted ending balances that were budgeted at $781,000. We have not budgeted anything yet for the PG&E mitigation money because we don't have the details on that yet. So hopefully we'll get those soon, and we can report that at second interim. We're getting one-time mandated cost reimbursement money again at $184 per ADA, which is about $1.3 million. We still are owed a little bit over $4 million for that, and we'll see how the new governor treats that. So it'll be interesting. We have our MA revenues, which are coming in a little bit more consistently than they were for a while at $180,000. Our donations and billings are things that we budget as we receive them. So as of first interim, we have budgeted about $510,000. That's what we have received so far. That'll go up throughout the year. The county office gives us our estimates on our special ed revenues, so we rebudget those every time they give us an estimate. And at the moment, we have no transfers between the general fund and Fund 20 budgeted. We'll wait till the end of the year and see how things look then before we decide whether we're going to do that. Oop, why is this? There we go. It's funny that it's not doing that. Well, this isn't working.
You thought you had so much power.
Okay, so our revenue sources, you can see that our property taxes make up the vast majority of our revenues at 78%. Our other revenues include other LCFF revenue, which is our old categorical monies that we still get, the Education Protection Act money that we get. We make a transfer to adult ed and to our charter school, and we also received some special ed property tax. Federal revenues, which are Title I, Title II, Title III, IDEA, Medi-Cal billing, make up about 3% of the budget. State revenues are mostly made up of lottery and the one-time mandated cost monies. That's about 6%. We take out that state STIRS on behalf because it's on paper only. We don't really want to show that as revenue, state revenue. And then our local revenues are at about 4%. Okay. No, maybe I am doing it. No? Okay, there we go. Okay, so on the expense side, our salaries are currently at about between 82 and 83%. Of our revenues, which is good. We have done a good job at keeping that percentage down to where we want it. You can see the employee benefits is 21% of our budget and growing. So we'll see the next slide that'll illustrate that. Again, in the expense, we take out that STIRS on behalf, which is on paper only. It's not real expense. We have about 6% budgeted in books and supplies, 10% in services and other operating expenses, which includes everything from mileage reimbursements and conferences and water and electricity and consultants and phones. It's kind of a catch-all. Capital outlays budgeted at 1%, and we have other outgo and transfers out, which I think the majority of that is the amount that we pay County Office of Ed for the special ed students that they serve for us. And this illustrates where we think the benefits are going to be going for the next couple of years. You can see that in 13-14, our STIRS was about a little under $3 million. Our PERS was $1.6 million. And by 2021, we expect STIRS to be up at about $7.4 million and PERS to be at about $4.2 million. So it's something we always have to be aware of and keep our eye on. And as you probably know, the LCFF is now fully funded at Target, so all of our neighboring school districts have gotten all of the LCFF money that they're going to get. They will continue to get COLA increases, which are projected at about 2.57 for next year and 2.67 in the year after that, which we think is going to keep pace pretty much with where our property taxes are. So we think we're going to stay basic aid for the future. At probably around $9 million, it's probably going to stay at about that level. Unless you have any questions on this portion, I'll turn it over to Ryan.
Okay. Mr. Buckman.
Yeah. Thanks, Julie. That was always great. I always feel I understand now why I failed eighth grade math. So I was looking at the pension stuff, and I've always had a question, so I'm going to ask it now. It was my understanding, and I may have this wrong, was the state... It was our fixed percent that the state had committed to helping us with pensions, that they were going to pay a share of it, and has that changed?
They do
it feels
a share of it, but I think school districts' portion has increased far more than than the state's or the employees' portion.
Right, and but the state sets that
yes,
that
I
percent.
Think so. Yes.
Okay, so help me. Go ahead.
Yeah, again, so there's three sources of contributions for retirement. So one is the employee themselves,
right,
which they have increased over the past few years. So I think it was like at 5, at 6, now it's 7%, 8% I think for PERS, so a little bit higher for the people that have a little better retirement plan. The state then also kicks in, right? I think PERS actually has a panel that sets their rates.
Right.
STERS is actually legislated.
Okay,
I think there has some restrictions in terms of how high they can go and how much the state pitches in. The state did, I believe, increase their contribution a little bit over this time period, but we're talking about it still like is it 7%? I think about 7%, so almost kind of the same as the employee, and then the mass majority of that increase was given to school districts to pick up in some way, you know, through their budget.
So
and that's where we see this gradual increase.
Right. So this is my question. Given by who to the school districts?
So that would the legislature.
The legislature.
Yeah, the governor
is
part of a bill, right, with the retirement laws and passed by the legislature.
So it seems to me, so the insurance companies have actuarials. They predict the future of whatever. And these pension costs, there was no surprise here. Everybody knew that we were going to get hit with them. I mean, that's my perception. We knew how many people were retiring, and
they've had their actuarials done.
Okay, so having it look like there's just this mass increase, to me, it appears the state did not do their job and set aside enough money.
I think it was
and planned for it. It's not the district that made a mistake.
No.
Okay. I just want that really clear because I've had trouble understanding that, and I'm getting stuff out in the public that what did you get? And it's really at the state level that we kind of got messed up. Am I right?
Well, I think it's a combination of you know, the recession and a lot of baby boomers retiring all at once. You know, it's just having
an
effect.
Thanks for helping me understand. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Now, there are some government bodies, such as the county, some cities, that do pay a higher percentage and do decide how much their employees get in retirement. So I think that's a little bit of the public pushback, is they have some really good retirement plans for some of those workers that they have incurred those costs through negotiations with their employee groups. And so, you know, this is something for us, though. It's basically a state mandate that's been handed down. So I don't know if you caught that with Julie, right, but employee benefits are 21% of our budget expenditures, almost the same cost as classified and administrative salaries combined. So just let that sink in for a minute, right? So that is going to continue to grow as a percentage because of the increase with STERS and PERS as well as health benefits. So that is a huge when we look at overall compensation for employees – we need that's a big piece of it, right? That retirement that people receive when they retire, you know, from the school district, PERS or STERS, is part of their compensation long term. That's a huge benefit, right, to us. And I think that's another piece. Is some people who don't have a retirement system, they don't, you know, they don't like the fact that ongoing, you know, retirement aspect of it. But definitely the cost of those is an incredible thing. So quickly, the 10-year budget. Again, like Julie said, we never spend everything that we budget. And so the reason why we created the 10-year budget was to try to be a little bit more transparent about what our normal spending patterns are so that we get a much more accurate picture of what the budget's going to be now, long term, over the long term, right? So I think it's been a helpful thing for both our unions and our employees and the public to really have a better sense of what we kind of how we see this long-term budget maintaining. Of course, if you look at the top, it has those property tax revenues that Julie talked about. Again, this is a projection. So as Mr. Buckman said, you know, if we go into some type of a recession, something happens, right, we could go from 3.5 to 0% property tax increases like we did in 2009, 2010, 11. So that can happen. So we have to be cautious. Yet we also don't want to pretend like we're, again, hiding anything. So, again, this is our best projection. If we look at the past 10 years, what we've made in property tax revenues, it's an average of about 3.5%. That's what's built in. This year was a little bit higher than that. So, great. We do the comparison of LCFF, so where we are at in terms of LCFF, as well as where we would be as a basic aid school district, those comparisons, taking out the Bellevue Santa Fe charter school funds, which does increase, so they will increase some through the LCFF and some of the COLA that they'll receive, right? And so, again, most of the revenues pretty much stay the same. We have not included, we have a line item you'll see down there, Diablo Canyon settlement, but we have not included any of those. You know, those increases, which is supposed to be, remember, 5 years of $2 million a year. And then the last 4 years is $4 million a year. Because the first 5 years, $2 million goes into the educational foundation during that time period. So as soon as we have that, we will include that into this. We have included the out years for the Cayucas students in terms of a projection. You'll see the increased cost of tuition that's been added to that agreement, which kind of ramps up, you know, starts this year, ramps up a little bit the following year, and then is fully funded in the third year, I believe. We do like to wait until the end of the year to determine kind of what we're going to do. Fund 20, where we're at. The board will know that last year we put $1 million into Fund 20 at the end of the year. We also put $1 million into Fund 40 for deferred maintenance projects. So that was something that, even though it looks like a deficit in terms of our, if you go all the way down to the end, Luana, in terms of our last year budget with reserves, we did have those two accounts that we did put money into, right, during that time. So you'll see we have a strong, what looks like, in comparison to first interim, a negative $675,000 to a potential surplus of over $1 million in looking at our 10-year budget. Again, because we don't spend everything that gets put. We do have carryover. We do have things that come into being. The economy is doing well right now. So we'll see what the governor says. Governor Newsom going to continue the path of Governor Brown and give one-time funds to school districts? To not incur ongoing costs, but to take some of that hopeful, you know, surplus that we may have with the state, and that's a positive thing for us as a community-funded school district because we receive those one-time dollars. So we'll see how that lays out. But based right now, you'll see that even though we go through a few years of deficit based on the current projections, you'll see we do come out on this current model, even with the increases in STIRS and PERS, into a positive place budgetarily. So reserves, right? Because, again, this takes nothing into account of any potential recession as we watch the stock market go up and down, and we'll see what happens there. As we've seen from other school districts and news and those types of things, maintaining, you know, again, you can't be overly conservative, but we need to be conservative. We need to make sure that we get through this kind of time period. Now, I will say, the reason why we're in this situation is because of the reductions we've made over the last 3 years. So because we started the district office a few years ago, made reductions, got, you know, really lean here, we've made some, you know, some more reductions at site. We've tightened up a little bit at class size, right? Because we've done all those things, that's why we're in the shape that we are. So we want to not have to have those budget reduction committees. We want to try to stay at a place as a school district, and again, the Diablo Canyon, you know, mitigation funds will help us maintain that and make sure that we stay in those places. As we go out and we do our LCAP meetings with our staff, and we kind of go over this and we talk about it, You know, we share things like, hey, we probably have $20 million in deferred maintenance projects that we still need to do in our district, from bathrooms and furniture and continuing asphalt work and concrete. So there's still a lot of things that we need to do, and continuing to buy more buses each year and maintain our fleet and do those types of things that are really important, that we need to do. And whenever we say that at those meetings, every head nods. Right, people know, they understand, and we've been benefiting from that. Our schools are looking better and better every day. When you go by C.L. Smith and Sinsheimer and some of the schools where we've painted and added fencing and done things, it's really making a difference at our site. So we want to maintain that path as we move forward. So, again, thanks to the board's kind of fiscal guidance and where we've been over the last 3 years, we've been able to, you know, stay in a really solid foundation budgetarily. As a school district, I feel really good where we're at. And kind of this path forward, as long as we continue to keep our eye on those personnel costs. That's the big, you know, the big item as a school district.
Mr. Bruckman.
Oh, thanks. First of all, this is every time. I mean, 10-year budget projection just makes life so much easier. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I did forget a question. I think it must have been on the SACS report, Julie, and it's just like this finite little thing, so you probably have to give me an answer later. But I did capture the resource code. Does that make it easier?
Yes.
Okay. So there's something called Public Charter Schools Grant Program. Okay. That's the face. Okay. So we'll discuss it offline.
Is it
4610 page 4, but don't let's I'm sorry, it's just in zeros, and I just didn't know whether we applied for or whether we qualify.
What did you call it again? The Charter School Facility Grant Fund?
No, let hang on a second.
I don't think that should be in the general fund.
No, it's in the SACS report, I think. It's just a line item.
Okay.
It's probably just
it's zero right now.
It's zero. I just wondered.
We can look at
it. Yeah, we'll just look at it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Anyone from the public wishing to address this? Right.
We really look forward to the foundation, Education Foundation, getting kicked off and getting those funds. And I've been attending those meetings, and talk about a dynamic group of individuals that I see that as another positive benefit for us moving forward in the future.
Okay. Thank you. And this is not an action item this evening.
This is.
Yes,
we do need you to
down.
Pass the resolution
okay.
for
well,
the first
item.
I saw
you walking away, and that was confusing me. Okay, so we need a motion to accept the first interim report. Mrs. Roger, Mr.
I'll move approval of resolution number 10-18-19, the first interim budget report.
I saw Mr. Buckman's light on. It's no longer on. Is a second? All right. Motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mr. Millar. This is a roll call vote.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Rogers? Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Thank you.
Resolution passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on to our discussion action items, 9.01. The audit report, the 2017-18 audit report.
So we have Jonathan Clement here from Favernick Trinan Day to explain our audit for San Luis Coastal. And you may have noticed that we included the other two audits for CCSFA, California Schools Financing Authority, and for Measure D. So if you have any questions on those two audits, he's available to answer those as well. With that, here's Jonathan.
Oh, okay. From the
Thank you, Julie. Good evening. Oops,
sorry.
Good evening. President of the board, governing board members, cabinet, superintendent. It's great to be here. And I'm Jonathan Clement, as Julie mentioned, manager with Vavernick Trine Day & Company. I am one of the lead auditors on this engagement. And just to give you an idea, what goes into the audit is we come up twice a year, and we what we call interim and final. And the interim entails us going to the sites, but that also includes our attendance, ASB testing,
as well as we're at the district office as well, performing internal controls. And with those internal controls, we're testing all the significant transaction class areas, those being receipting and disbursements, both non-payroll and payroll. And then we come out during final, and that's what we call our year-end testing, where we wrap up our state compliance, federal compliance, and then also test all the year-end balances, which make up this beautiful report we have for you. So, I would like to point out, again, on page 99, if you have the audit report in front of you, I do. Do we have the audit? Perfect. Page 99, and again, I'll keep it brief. It's my favorite part of the report. It's what we call the summary of auditor's results.
Yes,
and all of our testing, and again, this is probably the best place to turn to see how the audit went. And with that, we opine on three separate areas, one being the financial statements as a whole. And as you can see, we issued an unmodified opinion. And what that means is, as of June 30th, the numbers were fiscally accurate. So it's the best opinion we can give. So again, we always enjoy an unmodified. And as you can see, no material weakness, significant deficiencies. We also opine on federal compliance. And as you also can see, yes, you can see there as well, third line down, unmodified as well. And also the state compliance as well, so state awards. And if you continue down further, perfect, unmodified as well. So again, as of June 30th, and again, federal and state are compliance only, and everything was looking great. So additionally, if you continue on to the next few pages, there were no audit findings, which we do appreciate. So, again, I would like to add, we really thank Julie and her staff. They allow us to be efficient and effective and produce this report. And without them, it would make our lives very, very, a little bit more difficult. And, again, we understand the burden we are on them, so we definitely appreciate what they do. So, with that, is there any questions related to the district or the Measure D or the California School Financing Authority report?
Any, first, I'll ask if anyone from the public wishes to address this item.
Is there anyone from the public?
All right. There we do have people from the public.
All right.
All right. Any questions or comments from the board? Mrs. Roger?
Well, would this be the clean audit that we're able to see, as opposed to the clean audit that no one is able to see? Never mind, it doesn't make any sense. But it has to do with the Trump administration and the audit. So I always appreciate a clean audit, and
yes, we
appreciate your work. I recall seeing you at the CSBA conference.
Yes.
And it's nice to see you again.
Definitely.
If no one has any questions, then I will.
Mr. Millar?
Okay.
I just, in view of the recent close of the election season, looking at page 102, I think it is, where it says, well, it's both federal and state and financial statements. I guess it goes as far as I'm sounding a little incoherent, but what I'm trying to get at is there were no findings in previous audits as well in these categories, is by my understanding this correct. So, and then this year as well, there are no findings.
Correct.
All right, so we got that little student association cash situation figured out after only, 4 or 5 years? That was good. So I guess I wanted to highlight this because there was a lot of talk about transparency and, and fidelity in handling public funds and things. And every year we have an audit from your firm or other firms in the past presented. And I would suggest that any folks who are criticizing the district as far as lack of transparency and accountability, they should probably read this audit report.
Definitely.
Great. Thank you very much. You want me to do it?
Sure.
I'll move acceptance of the audit.
And I'll second.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Millar, second by Mrs. Roger, to accept the 2017-18 audit report. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Thank you. You as well. Thank you. All right. Item 9.02, initial proposal of the Board of Education for negotiations with the California School Employees Association.
So I have the next five items on the agenda.
Well,
and
get comfortable.
The next four deal with starting negotiations. So in January, we're going to be starting negotiations with our two classified units, CSEA and SEIU. So what you see in front of you is the first one is the board's proposal for items to bring up in the negotiations, and so you will want to adopt your proposal for starting with CSEA's negotiations.
If there's no board discussion, I'll move approval of item 9.02, our initial proposal for negotiations with the California School Employee Association.
All right, any discussion? Anyone from the public wishing to address this item? All right, we have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mr. Millar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. 9.03.
So this proposal is given to you from CSEA, and so it's your opportunity to receive their proposal and for the public to comment on it should they wish to do so.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public wishing to comment on this at this time? All right. Thank you.
And the next item is the board's initial proposal for our second classified union, which is SEIU. So you'll want to adopt this proposal.
Okay. Anyone from the public wishing to address us on this? Any discussion among the board? All right, then we need a motion, please, to adopt item 9.04.
I'll move approval of the initial proposal to this SEIU.
And
I'll second with the comment that we have previously read these proposals and therefore we appear to have no comment.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Again, motion carries.
And 9.05 is the proposal from SEIU to the board. So you would be receiving this and giving the public an opportunity to comment if they should wish to do so.
Yes, and as Mrs. Rogers stated, we have received these documents. The board has received these documents in our board packet, as well as anyone else who looked at this. So we have seen this before. Anyone from the public wishing to address this? Thank you. We're not voting on this.
Okay, and then the last item that I'm here for is 9.06. So we had each year we try to bring forward our salary schedules for our substitute employees in December in order to make changes for the new year. We had an increase in the minimum wage. The minimum wage goes up to $12 on January 1st, so we had several positions that were below minimum wage. And we also looked at the positions where we're having difficulty in filling the positions or the places where we felt an increase was warranted. So what you will see is on the left-hand side, when you see the two numbers, those are numbers that we are requesting that we increase. So you'll see the first one is the crossing guard, and it currently is at $11.14. And because minimum wage goes up on January 1st, then that would need to go up to $12. And if you'll go down there, you'll see food service and instructional aid. Those are positions that we've had a little bit of difficulty in filling. And in the instructional aid category, it used to include the paraeducator, and we have made a new classification of paraeducator down below at $16 an hour to break apart the difference between our instructional aides and our paraeducators. So that's, as you go through there, you'll see the $12 increases. And then the box at the bottom there is our certificated substitutes. And when we looked recently, once a year, all the county, the school districts in the county collect data on our a whole range of things, and one of those is certificated substitutes. And our substitute salary has fallen below the other districts. And I believe that we had, Ms. Campbell had a chart so that we could show you the rate of pay from the other districts. Maybe the plus sign down there, maybe. There we go. So you can see that Atascadero's rate is $61 for a half day, and then $122 for a full day, and then LT is long term, so that's somebody that's in the position for more than 20 days at $135. Cayucos is at $60 and $120. Coast is $82.50 for a half day, $125 for full, and $135 for long term. Lucia Mars, $57.50 for half day, $115 for full day, and $120 for long term. Paso is $61.50 for half day, $123 for full day, and $136 for long term. Pleasant Valley is at $60 and $120. And so we are currently at $57.50 and $115 and $150 for long term. We're not recommending a change to the long term because you can see ours is you know, up there with the, you know, I think it's, we're doing well in that category. However, the half day and the full day we're recommending goes up to $125 to be more competitive with the other districts. And then you can see SLOCO. SLOCO has hard to fill positions, so all of those are unique and different positions. They do have no general education there, so their long-term rate is a lot higher for that reason. And you can see then San Miguel, Shandon, and Templeton. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Then also on the next page, because there were multiple pages on that salary schedule, are the adult school pay rates. And that was just because the child care aides for babysitting duties needs to go up to $12 in alignment with minimum wage as well. So I believe those are the three salary schedules that you... Oh, and then the SEIU salary schedule. The change to this one is... I know it's very, very small, but really the only change is in step one, range 300 to the crossing guard. It was below $12, so all we did was change that one little box. Everything else remains the same.
Anyone from the public wishing to address this? All right. Any questions or comments by board members? And this is an action item. If anyone would like to make a motion to approve the increases to minimum wage and substitute salary schedule. Mr. Millar?
I will move approval of the increase to minimum wage and substitute salary schedule.
And also, thank you. All right. We have a motion by Mr. Millar, second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. 9.07, proposed revisions to board policy 6174.
Thank you. This evening, I have a revision to Board Policy 6174 in front of you, which is education for English language learners. So this did come to our attention based on input from our federal program monitoring process, and this did go through the board subcommittee. So you will see that there are some red changes, which are suggestions from the FPM team and consultant that are suggesting we need these in order to submit them for our FPM approval. Subcommittee did look at it, and you will see some of their suggestions in blue. For example, they suggested to strengthen the language around the governing board intends to provide English language learners with challenging curriculum. Instead, the governing board will provide English learners. And you'll see another addition in blue on page C, where it includes state and local assessments, as well as formative assessments may be utilized to analyze individual student performance, which I would also agree with. I think that's a positive change. On page D, you will also find some clarifying language and some language that kind of consolidated a couple of thoughts. On page D, all of the red is from the FPM consultant that says that does need to be included for our monitoring approval. I would also say that this is a first reading, and I know typically you really like bringing things back for a second reading, but because of FPM process, I would appreciate your approval of this on the first reading this time.
Okay, is there anyone from the public to address this? All right, coming back to the board, any questions or comments? I would say on behalf of the subcommittee that it is our goal to, we will occasionally have times when things need to move more quickly, but it is our goal to bring things back for two readings whenever possible, but we do have a timeline this time with the FPM that we really want to abide to, especially so Mr. Mayfield can move on to other work and successfully complete this process. So with that, if the board is in agreement with having this go through on a first reading, then I'd like to have a motion to approve proposed revisions to board policy 6174. I'll make a motion to approve the proposed revisions to board policy 6174. I didn't see your light.
It wasn't
on. Oh, okay. All right. We have a motion by myself and a second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry, Catherine.
Thank you.
All right. Next is item 9.08, a claim against the district.
Yeah, we had an unfortunate accident that happened at Los Osos Middle School during Area 55. We actually had one of our students from Teach Elementary that was there, and in one of the landscaping areas, a sprinkler head had been left where they were basically taking out junipers, and then they're going to replant and change them. So accident happened. So as we do with all of our claims against the district, I'm asking you tonight to reject the claim itself, and then what will happen is that'll give our attorneys and our counsel an opportunity to begin discussions and dialogue with the claimant in this case.
Any discussion among the board? Questions, comments? Then this is an action item. Mrs. Roger?
I'll move approval of item 9.08. Rejection of the claim against the district.
Yes, thank you. Okay. Motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Mr. Millar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Next, we have our action consent items. You're going to pull something, I can tell. 10.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 10.02, approval of furniture and equipment requests.
Pull.
10.03, acceptance of donations. So we need a motion for 10.01 and 10.03.
I'll move approval of items 10.01 and 10.03.
Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. And Mr. Buckman, you pulled the approval of furniture and equipment requests.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. We've got one, two, three. I think there's three refrigerators on here. I'm just wondering if that has to do with Measure D or whether we're replacing.
So, yeah, this is not Measure D. This is actually just we have several refrigerator freezers throughout the district, food service uses that have gone bad, and so this is replacing those items. In the past, we've had kind of a combo unit that has a fridge and a freezer, and unfortunately, when one goes bad, you lose both. So we've moved to having separate freezer fridge in the future, and so this was something that's kind of been a little frustrating for some of our food service staff. Good. So I asked Rick Stimson to jump on it and get those ordered.
Good. I'm glad I asked. I have another question. Sometimes are these things not sometimes coming out of the cafeteria fund?
No, they do. Yeah.
But
the general fund often has to, you know, potentially make a contribution to the cafeteria fund.
Okay. Thanks.
Mrs. Roger, question?
Piggybacking onto that, because these are intended for use at C.L. Smith, can they be tied to growth at that site and developer fees be used for them?
They cannot.
Thank you.
So I'll move approval of 10.02.
All right. A motion by Mr. Buckman, second by Mr. Millar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Then, anything on the advance agenda? Okay. Then reports by board members. Mr. Buckman?
Yep. I just want to let the board know that I was invited to the San Luis Morning Kiwanis to speak on equity and on the Diablo Canyon. So I want to thank Eric for all the prep work that he's done. It made it very easy to do that. I continue to be impressed when I go to the PTA and booster meetings with the large turnout. It may be better this year than, I don't know, ever. It's just really consistent, and that's been really nice. I was asked to read at Hawthorne School, so I read a book, and just to be safe, I picked it up the day before, so I wouldn't make any mistakes, even though it was grade 3, and my grandson still made it impossible to read it. I wanted to also point out that at C.L. Smith, Josie Grady, who used to work the office, has always wanted to be a librarian. And she has a degree in librarian. And so when the opening came up at C.L. Smith, my understanding is something fell through. Anyway, they needed somebody, like, on really short notice. And so Josie's like, I can't. She's, like, walking on air over there. So it was really, really cool. I attended the Morro Bay High School choir recital and sat with family members of Malia. I could say it the other night. Malia and family members, Jamal, Michelle, and grandfather, Matt. And at the TCEC last Friday, we had a pretty rousing discussion on charter schools. I learned a lot. So, thanks.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
I just want to say this is my favorite time of year because it's when all the choirs and all the bands come to town and we get to hear the fruits of their labor this year. And so I just want to, as always, compliment our directors. Sharon Jeske started this off with her jazz band, which was unbelievably tight and great, at the Madonna Inn. They were on stage at the Madonna Inn, which was different and very exciting and fun for the kids, I think, and their parents, for sure. And then Ms. Jeske, of course, also was directing the band at the PAC, and joined by David Alm as the choir director, and so that was fantastic. And then the Pied Piper came to town the next day, and we saw Bryn Bellier with his band, both the Las Rosas Middle School and the Morro Bay High School, of course, and with Holly Bamfield directing her choir, and it was so huge. They could barely fit every student on the stage. It was just a very dramatic representation of how popular the music program is on the coast. Oh, and I just also wanted to add to the very positive comments that were made by Mr. Pinkerton and Mrs. McGrath about our foundation. As your representative to the foundation, I just want to tell you what a brilliant and hardworking and generous group of people these are. And we went through a training together and came up with a lot of great ideas and exchanged a lot of great ideas. And I think we're very much on the path to a very successful experience with our foundation.
Anyone else? Mrs. Roger.
Just very quickly, I attended the boardwalks at Bishop's Peak and Baywood Elementary School, and those were both really fun. pardon me. And I also attended the Student Senate, which we all got a little taste tonight of what they're doing and how the student representatives are and how articulate they are. How involved, and it was very interesting to go. It's held in this room. It's packed with young people, and they are sharing out and empowered. It's just if anybody else has the opportunity to attend Student Senate, it's really a worthwhile experience. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, we will adjourn. Our next meeting is a board study session on Thursday, January 10th at 10:30 in B3, the district conference room. And our next evening meeting, regular board meeting, is Tuesday, January 15th at 6 p.m. in this same room. So happy holidays, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you all.